KINY Juneau. Now from the Alaska Airlines Studio, local first news for Juneau and all of Southeast Alaska.
From the capital city, I'm Jazz Garrett. These are the stories we're following this hour. Governor Mike Dunleavy joined Action Line this morning. A Douglas C-54 plane with two people on board crashed into a river outside Fairbanks, and the Alaska House panel has removed a proposal to raise the state's age of sexual consent to 18. But first, today, KINY's news director Jordan Lewis spoke with Governor Mike Dunleavy about education reform and Alaska's correspondence programs. The governor referenced a Harvard study on charter schools that was released in November of 2023. That study ranks charter schools in Alaska as the best in the nation. Governor Dunleavy called on lawmakers to expand the charter school system this legislative session. While the charter schools were ranked high, the public expressed concerns that Alaska's traditional neighborhood schools rank near the bottom in national comparisons.
It's a situation where I think certainly the examination of this research warrants a closer look. But I would generally say I think most people would not be surprised that our charter schools are performing well. I think a lot of us are surprised that they were the best in the country. But we do have work to do with our neighborhood schools. We do have work to do with all of our public school approaches. And so I don't think it's a bad thing. I think it's a place for dialogue. But again, if folks are going to be entrenched in their camps, it's difficult to have a dialogue that moves things forward.
Recently, the Superior Court ruled that the state's cash payments to the parents of homeschooled students violates constitutional restrictions against spending state money on private education, a law that requires correspondence programs to create individual learning plans for students was also ruled unconstitutional. Attorneys on both sides of the case have requested that the courts put the ruling on hold. Such holds, called stays, can take weeks to be granted.
We've asked for a stay, which means we've asked that that decision not be implemented until we get this figured out. And we are asking for an expedited hearing with the Alaska Supreme Court so they can take a look at this. But obviously, 24,000 students in the state of Alaska, 1,000 plus vendors, hundreds of teachers, dozens of school districts would be negatively impacted. As a matter of fact, if this decision were to stand, many consider this, including myself, that this would be the biggest shock to the educational system in the state's history.
To listen to the full interview, go to the podcast page on KINYradio.com. A federal aviation official says one of the two pilots aboard an airplane carrying fuel reported there was a fire on the airplane shortly before it crashed and burned outside Fairbanks. Clint Johnson, head of the National Transportation Safety Board's Alaska Division, says the pilot had made radio contact Tuesday about the in-flight emergency shortly after taking off. They were attempting to return to Fairbanks International Airport when they lost contact. The plane crashed about 7 miles outside Fairbanks, heading a steep hill and sliding down an embankment to the banks of the Tanana River. Alaska State Troopers say no survivors were found. The Alaska House's Rules Committee has eliminated, at least temporarily, a plan to raise the state's age of sexual consent to 18. Members of the House said on Tuesday that they expect to re-vote on the idea before the legislative session ends. Meeting on Monday, members of the committee voted unanimously to remove the section of House Bill 264 that contained the sexual consent language. During a House floor session in late March, Representative Andrew Gray proposed a handwritten amendment to House Bill 264 that would make it a felony for someone older than 18 to have sex with someone younger than 18, with some exceptions. That amendment passed 32-6, even as some lawmakers criticized the amendment's language as inadequate. Gray said he would have preferred a longer, formally drafted amendment, but that wasn't available at the time of the vote, and lawmakers passed the idea while acknowledging that the Senate would have to fix some problems with the proposal. But instead of advancing House Bill 264 to a final vote and on to the Senate, House leaders returned the bill to the House Rules Committee for several weeks. Coming up, more updates with the issues with Boeing. That story next with Jordan Lewis when Local First News continues.
AP correspondent Rita Foley has the latest on Boeing's troubles.
Boeing is reporting a $355 million loss for the first quarter, but the CEO says that's not the most important thing right now. It's fixing the company's manufacturing issues, which have been in the spotlight since that door plug blew out of an Alaska Airlines Boeing jetliner in January, leaving a gaping hole in the plane. Among Boeing's other challenges right now, whistleblowers alleging shoddy work at the company, airlines not happy about not getting all the new planes they ordered, and the FAA giving Boeing until late May to come up with a plan to fix problems manufacturing 737 MAX jets. CEO David Calhoun says, yes, this is a tough moment for Boeing, but he says safety and quality must and will come above all else. I'm Rita Foley.
The City and Borough of Juneau and the Alaska Division of Public Health's Juneau Public Health Center are encouraging Southeast Alaskans to be sure that they and their children are up to date on their MMR vaccination as cases are rising across the U.S. As of April 18th of this year, a total of 125 measles cases have been reported to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention in 18 U.S. jurisdictions. Nearly half of the cases were in children less than 5 years old, and the great majority were in individuals who were unvaccinated or had unknown vaccination status. 56% of those cases were hospitalized. None of the U.S. cases reported so far this year have occurred in the state. Routine vaccination with the measles, mumps, and rubella vaccine is considered to be safe and over 97% effective in preventing acquisition of the measles virus. Measles is one of the most contagious diseases in the world. However, when more than 95% of people in a community are vaccinated, most people are protected through community immunity. Most Alaskans are protected from measles through prior vaccinations or prior infection. The majority of people born before 1957 are likely to have been infected naturally. However, the vaccination coverage rates among Southeast Alaskan kindergartners has declined in recent years and is currently only at 67%. This puts communities at high risk for measles outbreaks if cases occur. This could happen, like most measles outbreaks do, when someone carries measles home from travel or when a traveler from elsewhere visits the community. The Alaska Department of Fish and Game has announced the publication of the annual statewide salmon run forecast and commercial harvest projection report. The Alaska All Species Salmon Harvest for last year totaled approximately 232.4 million fish. More than half of this harvest was comprised of pink salmon at 154.9 million, followed by sockeye salmon with 51.9. And while the 2023 pink salmon harvest was well distributed across southeast, central, and westward regions, Bristol Bay continues to be the largest sockeye salmon producing region in Alaska. The 2024 commercial salmon harvest forecast is 69 million pink salmon, 39.5 million sockeye salmon, 24.3 million chum salmon, and 2.6 million cohos. If realized, the forecasted 2024 total Alaskan commercial salmon harvest will be approximately 135.7 million fish. The Alaska Senate passed Senate Bill 152. That legislation aims to expand options for renewable energy development, reduce electric costs for Alaskan ratepayers, and mitigate natural gas shortages by establishing a virtual net metering program for small-scale renewable energy generation. Under this legislation, ratepayers will have increased opportunities to harness renewable energy sources, such as solar panels and wind turbines, to lower their electric bills. Under current net metering regulations, a solar array or wind generator must be tied to a single meter. This bill allows for virtual net metering, enabling multiple ratepayers to pool resources and benefit from a single renewable energy project. This will enable homeowners and tenants who lack access to individual renewable energy installations to enjoy cost-saving and reliability benefits. The bill now moves to the House of Representatives, where it is scheduled to be heard in the Energy Committee on Thursday at 10:15 a.m. And a seismic shift to the rules that affect millions of American workers. ABC's Brian Clark says the government wants to make it easier for employees to take new jobs.
1 in 5 American workers are subject to non-compete clauses. They bar workers from joining a rival company for a certain period of time. They've traditionally covered executives and some jobs in media, but the Federal Trade Commission's voted 3-2 to ban non-compete agreements. The FTC chair, Lena Khan, said they keep wages low, suppress new ideas, and rob the economy of dynamism. Pro-business groups are expected to challenge this new rule in court. Brian Clark, ABC News.
Now you're up to date with local first news. I'm Jordan Lewis.